This is the Double Play Podcast, talking nine innings of baseball. Here's Bonte Hill and Cody Paspey.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Double Play Podcast. I'm Cody Paspey. Alongside me, as always, is Bonte Hill. Bonte, we've been away for a little while, but
it has been.
There's been plenty of ball to talk about as we're wrapping up the first month of the Major League season.
Absolutely. We've been busy around these parts, man. Schedules haven't matched. A lot of Sunday night games with the Giants.
Warriors. Giants, Sharks, all this Bay Area sports going on. It's too much, man.
We're not complaining.
No, not at all.
But we couldn't get you the content, people, that you needed for this baseball season. We just couldn't get it to you.
Yeah, but we are now.
We are now.
So you're welcome. And we will also hear from Giants outfielder Angel Pagan. Bonte had a chance to talk to him, off to a torrid start. He's just raking right now for the San Francisco Giants.
Maybe we should put Angel Pagan on one-year deals every year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a contract year. His last year of the four-year deal he signed with the Giants, he's having a phenomenal start to the season. He seems relaxed. He seems at peace. You see his body language. Complete difference from last season. Last season, he wasn't having fun. He mentioned that, which we'll hear in the interview, that he was playing hurt. And playing hurt is never fun. So, did a lot of things, changed some things up, and look at him, man. He's battling Teddy Ballgame right now with the batting average.
Teddy Ballgame. That might come down a little bit once we get around deeper into the season. But, hey, off to a great start, so we'll hear from him. But let's get it going here in the first inning, and let's stay in San Francisco as we're here in the KNBR studios in San Francisco, the city by the bay. And let's talk about the Giants, who the last time we were talking, Giants could do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Really. 6-2. They were going into Colorado, had a great game there. They were hitting. They had a home run in every single game they had to start the season. But then things took a turn for the worse. Sergio Romo goes on the DL, as is George Contos. Both of them, big parts of that San Francisco bullpen, both fighting flexor strains at the moment. And the Giants bullpen has been struggling, to say the least. They're currently sitting 18th in Major League Baseball in overall bullpen ERA. Not so bad at 3.69, but the batting average against is 2.62. Oof. That's the bottom half of the league, 25th in all of baseball. And since April 13th, their bullpen ERA sits at 7.62. The bullpens have been a big problem, Bonte, and are you concerned about it, or is this just something that's going to get fixed once Romo and Contos get back in there?
You know, this was a big concern for me coming into the season. This was the biggest question mark with this roster, with Jeremy Affeldt retiring. And granted, Jeremy Affeldt didn't have a very good 2015. With Sergio Romo back, Casilla and Lopez, you just worry about the miles on their arms. And Lopez has got off to a horrid start. Then we talk about Hunter Strickland, who Hunter Strickland is supposed to be the future, the closer of the future, I should say. And he's been erratic as well. He's got the one pitch, the electric fastball. He doesn't trust his slider, doesn't have a changeup. And you saw last night against the San Diego Padres, he came in the eighth inning where this could have been his new role, and he got bombed. He got rocked. You know, Corey Guerin is just young. Do you trust him? Osich, do you trust him in a big spot? I don't know. The Chris Hessen experiment didn't go well, and he's back in Sacramento pitching AAA ball. The Yusmeiro Petit, the loss of that just kind of flew under the radar, Cody. Nobody really talked about that. And he was such a key figure for that 2014 World Series season. And then last year, and you see him with the Nationals, heck, they had a 16-inning game this past Sunday, and Petit goes damn near five innings, giving up one run. So the bullpen is a question mark for me, and it is a big concern.
I tend to agree on that because with these two guys back in it, the bullpen was even still a question mark, like you said, with those two guys in there. And even through the first eight games, there were some bullpen questions. And there's a lot of wear and tear on a lot of these arms. And I think this is a point where you have to think maybe the Giants can do something about maybe trading for a bullpen arm, trading for a lefty possibly. Osich has been all right. Like you said, Strickland has been a little concerning because there's a lot putting on his shoulders now that these other guys are out. He's really the next guy up, and it's been pretty tough for him early on in the season.
Well, the Derek Law kid looks good.
He looks good. They've
got great young arms. It's just tough to throw him in a race like this. And granted, it's early. for me to say race, it's a tad bit early. But look, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, they want to run away with this thing. They're going to be around all season long.
And both teams right now are hot.
Hot. Dodgers bullpen, other than Chris Hatcher, has been electric. Mm-hmm. Baez has been good. You know what you're getting out of Jensen. He's been solid. The Diamondbacks, look at their bullpen.
Yeah.
They've been solid with Brad Ziegler back there closing. They've been rock solid so far. And what that sweep did for the Diamondbacks was give them life. The Giants had a chance to just kind of kick them down, keep them down in the cellar. Now they have life. They're playing better. This bullpen for the Giants. And look, we know at the trading deadline that the Giants are in a race. We know Bobby Evans, Brian Sabian, they're going to pull a deal. They're going to get a reliever here. We talked about Mike Dunn from Miami who could be on the block. You look at those teams like the Braves, the Marlins, teams that are going to be in a cellar that will be selling bullpen arms. I think the Giants will feast on that, especially if they're in a race and we expect them to be in this race for the long haul. But they're going to have to make a deal, Cody. I believe before it's all said and done, they're going to have to go out and seek help for some bullpen arms.
I totally agree. And I think that a guy that may be expendable in all of this, I know he did just re-aggravate an injury, but Andrew Susak down in AAA,
man,
I think he could be a very valuable piece for a team that needs a backup catcher. And the Giants just need one arm in return. Really,
what about Jared Parker? It seems like they're going with Mac Williamson. You have Pagan, you have Blanco, you have Span, you have Hunter Pence. I think Jared Parker is another guy who's expendable where he could go get some relief help.
Absolutely. They have options, and it is early.
It is early.
Things can happen, and a lot of young arms. We'll see if they can sort of acclimate themselves to the major leagues. Let's move on to the second inning and talk about a guy who has maybe been one of the biggest stories in baseball to start the season early on, and that is Kenta Maeda of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who the Dodgers did pay a lot. I know that contract doesn't look really intimidating. I think it's like 6 years, $25, $30 million.
A lot of incentives in that deal where he can get up to, what, $80 to $90 million.
Yeah, and they had to pay, of course, the posting fee to the team that put him up there, and boy, it has paid off wonderfully. Maeda is off to the best start for a rookie pitcher in Major League history through four starts. Again, four starts, so it's still early, but 3-0 with a 0.36 ERA. Hell, that cannot be denied.
No. No, absolutely. Look, and the Dodgers need this. They need that replacement for Zach Greinke. If Maeda can produce this all season long, the Dodgers are in. They're going to be in the playoffs, having that 1-2 punch behind, you know, Clayton Kershaw and Maeda, but I saw Maeda, we watched him against the Giants that Sunday night game, and the Giants let him off the hook. He walks some guys. He's not a flamethrower. He kind of nibbles around the plate. He reminds us of, I believe he reminds me of Iwakuma up in Seattle.
Yeah.
So can he continue this? Maybe, but you see the guys like Hideo Nomo, Hideki Arabu. Those guys flamed out quick.
Yeah, there's a long-standing trend in Major League Baseball of the pitchers from the Japanese League coming over here and impressing very early on. And then things just kind of fall apart. You mentioned Hideo Nomo. His first two seasons, electric stuff. Rookie of the year over those two seasons, 2.9 ERA, average over 10 strikeouts a game. He was awesome. And then the rest of his career, 4.61 ERA. Not so good. Over four walks a game. So can Maeda kind of kick the trend here? We still have Yu Darvish, who is
a flamethrower.
He's going to come back this year. We'll see how it goes.
Tanaka's been pitching well in New York, too, for the Yankees. Yep. So, you know, you got those guys. They're just completely different pitchers. Maeda, in this division, he can do some damage, man. There's a lot of pitchers-friendly ballparks in the National League. Maeda, he's going to be solid, and the Dodgers need it. They need this shot in the arm. I mean, if he doesn't produce this, the Dodgers are a third-place team in the National League West. Maeda's been solid, man. He's been impressive so far, but it's early, like you said, Cody, and I'm not sold on him quite yet. You know, he did have a good walk rate coming over from Japan, but early on in the major leagues, I don't see the power. You know, he's nibbling a little bit, but so far, so good. You can't deny the numbers, man. So far, so good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Maeda coming down the stretch here.
And it'll be interesting, too, later in the season when he feels the pressures and the wear and tear of a full major league season versus back in Japan, only having to pitch one day a week. And that is kind of the undoing of a lot of these Japanese pitchers who come over here. I think the one thing working in his favor is he's a little older, a little more experience. We've seen the pitchers who I think end up having the most success are the older guys. Hiroki Kuroda a few years ago went to L.A. I think at 29 or 30 years old as a rookie in the majors.
Yeah.
But he had a solid career in the years that you expected him to be okay.
Right.
And I think maybe these guys who maybe are a little bit older, Iwakuma, another guy, got here a little bit older. and he's having a successful major league career. Maybe that means something. Maybe that just the experience of playing those years in Japan does something differently. Nomo and Daisuke Matsuzaka, another guy who was a lot of hype. They were 26, Yu Darvish 25. We'll see about him, but maybe that means something. I don't know. So I think that this can last because of the strikeouts to walk ratio. But again, four starts. Come at me in July when he's had half of a season.
Yeah, hats off to Kenta Maeda for a great start. We'll see what happens when the dog days come around, you know, June, July, and August. Moving on to the third inning, and the darlings of the 2015 season, the Houston Astros. Carlos Correa, the hottest prospect we've seen in the last 2 to 3 years, other than Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. Jose Altuve hitting everything in sight. You have George Springer, another highly touted prospect. They've been awful so far, Cody. What are they, 6-13 right now?
6-14.
6-14,
despite the fact that you mentioned all these guys who, they're kind of raking. That lineup is raking. Colby Rasmus was just named Player of the Week.
Yeah, it's not the lineup's problem. And I'm going to ask the question, are the Houston Astros in trouble?
I'd like to say it's early enough in the season, but here we are. It's the end of April. And look, a lot of people will say it's early and things change. It's a long, long season, but you never want to get out of April under 500. And unless something happens here, unless a miracle happens, they're getting out of April well under 500 at 6-14 right now, full 8 games under. But yet, I still think this team's going to turn it around. Will they be as good as we thought they were? Probably not. There's some issues with this pitching right now. And they're not nearly as reliable as they were a year ago. No. Even Dallas Keuchel, 3.71 ERA is not terrible, but that's not what you get from your ace.
Remember Keuchel, he struggled down the stretch last year, and he was awful on the road in the second half of the season. Lance McCullers, he's on the DL right now, hasn't even gone to rehab, and they're acting like he's the next Nolan Ryan, like, oh, he's going to be the savior. I don't know about that. Mike Fiers, he's been okay, but the bullpen, I don't trust that.
Bullpen, which there were comparisons last year saying, hey, this could be the next Royals with this bullpen, and they had a rough postseason, and they get Ken Giles in a big, big trade, trading a lot of valuable young
poor
talent.
Or reliever.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Velasquez now is having one of the best surprising years over in Philly, and the Astros traded him to get Ken Giles, who has given up 8 runs in just over 8 innings pitched. He's not their closer anymore. He's been awful, and the rest of the bullpen has not really followed suit. So if the Astros can just figure out this pitching and finally get an ace-like start from their ace, it's just going to have to come together like that. Yeah. And we mentioned it before. Well, I think we were talking last time about the Twins and how just a couple guys need to get hot,
right,
and they'll be fine. A couple guys are getting hot for them.
Yeah.
And the hitting mm-hmm. is contagious.
Yep.
The same is going to stand for pitching. If everybody sees Dallas Keuchel or Mike Fiers go out there and have a solid start, 7 or 8 innings, then everybody's going to say, okay, we can do this.
Trickle-down effect, no doubt about it. I do concern because the expectations were high on this team. A lot of publications.
They're still very young.
Very young. And a lot of publications had these guys going to the World Series.
I had them going to the World Series.
Yeah. Look, Texas was my pick in the AL West. Looks good so far. That division still. Saying all this, the Astros came in today only 40 games back.
Right.
So it is early, like you said. Let's see what their pitching does. But it has to turn around. And it has to turn around quickly.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to fall behind. Another thing with the Astros, they can't win in Arlington. The Texas Rangers are in their heads. You remember in September, down the stretch, Texas dominated this Astros club where the Astros almost choked out the playoffs. Astros better pick it up, man, because not only is the Texas Rangers going to be around, but they're going to be around to hit a lot. And don't sleep on Seattle. So I'm not going to say the Astros are in trouble yet, Cody, but they better turn it around quickly, and it starts with the pitching, like you said.
Yeah, the pitching. And also, don't count out the Oakland A's, who I believe are right at the top of that AL West right now.
Unbelievable.
Good road record.
Unbelievable.
Who knows? That lineup's not half bad. We'll see if the pitching can last. But, hey, if Billy Beane can work some magic over in Oakland, that could be very bad news for the Astros and how the rest of their season plays out.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to the fourth inning. The Chicago Cubs are pretty good, Bonte.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
They're okay.
Right?
Yeah, they're all right.
You know, Jake Arrieta just throwing no hitters, no big deal. Something like 20-1 in his last 24 starts. They've all been quality starts. The guy's incredible. If you watched that game in Cincy, that was like, if you were a Cubs fan going to that game, you would say, what's the perfect scenario? We put up double digits on the board. Our big guys get home runs. And Jake Arrieta throws a no-hitter. That's literally what happened in that game. And they do this on a regular basis. Maybe not the no-hitters.
Right.
But this team is well in first place right now. They have the best pitcher in baseball right now. Yes, I know Clayton Kershaw's still out there, but you're telling me right now Arrieta is the best in baseball. They have the best young talent in baseball. I mean, I keep saying Rizzo and it.
Chris
we keep going
Bryant
on
keeps
and
hitting,
on.
Hitting. And don't sleep on Jason Hamill over here, who's right. Now 3-0 with a 0.75 ERA. Mm. And we looked at Hamill last year as like, oh, he could be that real complimentary piece to this Cubs rotation. Now a year later, no pressure, had time to shake off the struggles from 2015. He's dealing. John Lester doesn't look half bad. And you got Lackey back there in a four slot. This team is tough, man. They are going to be tough to beat. The Schwarber injury, yeah, it was big. But I also believe that Javier Baez could be last year's Schwarber.
Yeah.
He's getting some playing time. They're moving him all over the field. He plays second, short, outfield, third base. They still have enough firepower in that lineup to make up for the loss of Schwarber. Cubs are going to be tough to beat. Yeah. They're by far, to me, right now, the top team in the National League.
I think there's no question. I know technically the Nationals have a better record.
They haven't played anybody.
Exactly. And they're, but the Cubs are 14-5 right now. They're just on a incredible pace. And to talk about the Schwarber thing, that just shows a lot to me that that team saw that Schwarber injury in the first week of the season, and the way they responded is, well, we're still the best team in baseball.
Still the best team.
I mean, we saw it in the NBA with the Warriors against the Houston Rockets. They lose Steph Curry in the third quarter. They go, wait a minute, we're still the best team in basketball. We could do this. And they showed why. And you're seeing the same thing happening with this Cubs team on a smaller scale, obviously, early in the season here. But I'm impressed by the response of this team. They can hit the ball out of the yard. We all were impressed by Schwarber, but Chris yep. Bryant is an amazing, amazing talent. And I can't wait to see what he can do over a full season. I think he's going to have 30, maybe 40 bombs when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. Before we move on, let's not forget about Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
Who was left out there in a free agency.
Sneaky.
I mean, he was just sitting on the street. He had no team in February. I believe he signed really, really late, maybe a couple weeks before spring trading. The guy's batting like .385 right now. He's raking, and he's going to have a lot of run opportunities. So, Dexter Fowler, don't forget about him. He's balling out as well.
Let's move on to the fifth inning now. And I might be about to ask you a clown question right now, Bonte. Or maybe Bryce Harper would think that.
Right.
Is this guy the best player in baseball right now? The guy is creating a lot of storylines, obviously, with what he said over the offseason, the whole Goose Gossage thing that I don't even want to touch anymore. But Bryce Harper is making a case for himself as the best player in the game, the face of baseball right now. He's eclipsing Mike Trout right now, who's off to an okay start, but Harper has got 9 home runs so far. He's got 23 RBIs. That leads Major League Baseball in both categories. He's just picking off where he left off last year. He's got a .323 average, an insane .1260 OPS. And I'm going to say it right now. I think the best thing that has happened to Bryce Harper is Dusty Baker. He is the perfect manager for Bryce Harper.
So you're asking me, is Bryce Harper the best player in baseball?
Is this guy the best in baseball now?
That's a clown question, bro. That's a clown question, bro.
All right, then.
He's the best player at baseball.
Damn.
You just saw it on Sunday. Pinch hit. And granted, that 2-2 pitch that Jensen threw should have been strike 3. Harper got a good call there. The legend's just growing, man. Like, we've been watching this guy hit home runs since he was 15 years old, basically. When he hopped on sports and they're like, hey, this guy hit a home run 525 feet, 530 feet or whatever. He hit it across the street in the parking lot. He's coming together. How old is he, Cody? How old is he?
23
years old.
23
He's 23 years old. And we haven't even seen the best from him. So right now, he's definitely the best. He's the most entertaining player in baseball, and he's the best player in baseball. He's been speaking his mind about, hey, I want to get people excited about our game. Go ahead and high five. Stare me down. Bat flip. Do whatever you got to do. But you better back it up. And you know what Bryce Harper's doing? He's backing it up. And Dusty Baker's the perfect manager for him. Dusty Baker has that clubhouse loose. We've seen the Nationals in the last couple years where they've been tight in that clubhouse. They haven't gotten along with Matt Williams. This team's ready to go. And look, let's not go crazy on the Nationals yet. They've been feasting off the Braves, off the Phillies. Let's see them play some top teams. I believe they have a 10-game road trip coming up where they play St. Louis, Kansas City, and then they go to Wrigley Field to play the Cubs. So we'll know more about the Nationals, but this isn't the question. The question isn't about how good the Nationals. It's about, is Bryce Harper the best player in baseball? And definitively, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. I agree with you. He is easily the most entertaining player in baseball, and sooner rather than later, he will be the face of baseball, especially in this era when you look at the faces of other sports, where in the NFL, Cam Newton is becoming the face of football, and you see the type of personality he is, a lot more out there, a lot more fun. He's smiling. He's dancing. Mm-hmm. That's Bryce Harper. That's what he wants to be. He wants to emulate that, and that is the way that sports is going. And Goose Gossage, you can be mad all you want, but that's the way it's going. And Harper totally embodies everything about that. And is he the best yet? I'm not ready to go there, because what Trout has done since he debuted is historic. It's amazing what he's done. And it took Harper a little while, but Harper also debuted when he was a little younger than that.
Yep.
So it's easy to forget how young he is at 23, that the best is yet to come with this guy. And I think by the end of the year, if he has a year similar to what he had last year, or even just a smidge below it, he's the best in baseball. There's no question. He is such an entertaining player to watch. And I think people who were annoyed by him to begin with, and granted, there's reason to be annoyed. I mean, he's a guy who was born with a silver spoon, if you will. This guy knew he was going to be one of the best players in baseball from the moment he was like 10. So it could be a little annoying to be like, this guy, he's had everything handed to him his whole life. But you know what? Not really at the same time. This guy's trained his ass off to be the best in baseball and has taken advantage of his skill set and become something very, very special. And I think we just got to sit back and appreciate that at this point. Maybe the attitude can kind of perturb you, but appreciate what we're watching, especially with him and with Trout and with all these great young players we've got in baseball right now. It's a very special time for the game.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the sixth inning, where we have another steroid case. Chris Colabello. Chris Colabello from the Toronto Blue Jays has been suspended 80 games for violating the MLB PED policy. And this is a quote from Colabello. This quote just irks the heck out of me. I would never compromise the integrity of the game of baseball. I am saddened more for the impact this will have on my teammates, the organization, and the fans of the Toronto Blue Jays. I hope that before anyone passes judgment on me, they can take a look at the man that I am and everything that I have done to get where I am in my career. All right. Enough's enough, man. Do you believe him? I mean, it's tough for me to believe him because he's been all around. He's played for the St. Paul Pioneers or whatever they
go. The
guy was playing in Italy. He's done whatever he had to do to play in the major leagues. He ain't all that good anyway. Dude, just stop, man. You got caught. Take it like a man. Sit out the 80 games and come back if the Blue Jays need you.
Yeah, Colabello had a surprisingly good year last year and split time with Toronto. I think he batted over 300. I had double-digit home runs and was a surprise. A couple years ago, he had one great month in Minnesota and then nothing much else. But it was a nice story last year to see him. Great story coming from very humble beginnings. I think rookie season was like when he's 30. And it sucks to see the story end this way. But at the same time, I totally agree with you. I'm getting sick of players saying, I didn't know or I wouldn't have done that. We have heard of this story before for the last 15 years. Heck, we've heard it for almost 20 years. Mark McGwire sitting in his locker room saying, Andrew, that's something I take to make me buff. Yeah, I'm taking steroids. He said it to our face, and then he went out and denied it.
Yeah.
So we've heard this so many times before.
I'm over it, Cody. I'm over it. You get popped. You know what you're putting in your body. Read the freaking label. You know what the drug policy is. Don't take it. Yep. There's no excuse for this anymore, Cody. There's no excuse at all.
Yeah, there's a reason that this suspension is as hefty as it is, 80 games, so that people don't do this, and yet it's still happening. Now, there is some people saying that maybe this drug, Turnabol, is the one in question, which has been around for a while, by the way. This is not a new steroid. It was also the cause of Phillies pitcher Daniel Stumpf's suspension, another 80-game suspension. And going to the world of MMA, UFC fighter Frank Mir was suspended for using the same drug. And it's much like Colabello. He came out and said, I had no idea how I ingested it. I don't know how it got in my system. Look, is this just a case of two guys making the same excuse? I would lean towards that. Maybe there's something going on here. But again, this is a steroid we've known about for a while. It's not a mystery. For these two guys, one and obviously in two very different sports, to both say the same thing, I know some people, it's going to lead them to question if maybe they didn't know or maybe it's not listed or labeled or whatever. But you just have to be aware of these things. And you have to be even doubly aware if you're an athlete of the things you are putting into your body. And I'd like to give Colabello the benefit of the doubt.
Can't do it.
But we've been fooled way too many times.
We're not getting duped anymore.
No. And with that, we go on to the seventh inning stretch. So get up, get some snacks, grab a cold brew. And when we come back, Bonte had a chance to talk to the Giants left fielder, not the center fielder. And that change has been doing him pretty well, as is the ninth spot in the order. Right. Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it?
But Angel Pagan is off to a great start. Bonte had a chance to talk to him. We will hear that in the seventh inning stretch. Don't go anywhere, right here on the Double Play Podcast.
And welcome back to the seventh inning. Bonte Hill alongside my partner in crime, Cody Pasby, and got to go down to AT&T Park last Monday and talk to Angel Pagan, who's in his contract year, who had a rough 2015. And let me tell you, Cody, this guy looked relaxed. He was in his flip-flops. He had his headphones on. He was happy as can be. So I got to spend a few minutes with Angel Pagan and check it out right here on the Double Play Podcast.
Got to feel good after last season, man. Battling Teddy Williams right now with the batting average.
Well, it's too early for that. You know, it's only a couple weeks of the season. Certainly, it's a good start, but it's not about how you start. It's how you progress during the season, how you finish. You know, my main focus right now is not my production so much, but to stay healthy, because I know if I stay on the field, how much I can do to help this team. So that's my most important thing. I know if I'm healthy, I know what I can do. I believe in my talent, so it's a good start. I just have to keep it consistent and productive for the team.
Right, you mentioned that as long as you stay healthy, you still can go. Remember the inside the park home run that you missed most of the season. Right. The team kind of missed you. Last season, you battled some injuries as well. Now you're healthy, getting up to this. What did you do in the offseason, man, cause to kind of get over last season? Because last season was rough for not only the team, but for you personally on the field. What did you do to kind of get up?
I did a lot of changes on my preparation. You know, I changed some of my staff, and it was a good change. You know, they understood exactly what was going on in my body, and they had the right plan for it, and it's paying off. It worked. Right now, I feel better than I have feel in a long time. So, I'm just gonna go out there and do my 100%, and hopefully that's enough to help the team somehow.
Yeah, you talk about some of the changes. Was that with your diet? Was that with weight training? Was that with running?
Everything. I took everything up. So training, my training staff, diet, everything was part of it.
Yeah, you look spry out there, man. You enjoy playing in left field? Yeah, does that give you more extra rest or whatever?
Of course. It's something I've done before in the past. You know, it's not like I've never been there. I think my first opportunity in the big leagues was as a right fielder, as a fourth outfielder. And now, when Moises Alou got hurt in New York, they gave me the left field position before I took over center field for Beltran. So, I mean, I've been there before. I think it's a little bit easier for me, and, you know, I'm not getting any younger. The team wanted me to make that transition. I understood, and I move forward with it. You know, I'm 100% on board and trying to help. Like I said, you know, I'm here to help. If the team wanted me to hit ninth, I'll hit ninth. Left field, I'll play left field. I'm just here to help in any situation they need me to.
Yeah, it looks like you haven't even worried about batting ninth, man. It seems like you embraced it and you made the most of it. It's almost like an American League lineup where you're almost the second leadoff there, or you're set the table. And that's, you know, it doesn't really matter, I guess, when you're batting. It's when you do it. You have an opportunity to set the table. You set the table for Stan and Panic.
Right. I think that's the purpose of it. You know, the purpose of having two leadoff hitters, one after the other, is for the later, for after the second inning. I mean, you can have me leading off the inning, and then if I get on base, you got Span and the big boys. So I think it creates great situations to put some points on the board and you know, to give the confidence to the pitching staff to go ahead and, hey, man, you got the lead, so protect it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really like it.
Yeah. And it seems like you said, you really like that night, you really like playing left field. When Bochy first told you, like, hey, when they say Span, you kind of probably had an idea that, okay, we may move to left. When you first met Stan, how was that? And how was that when Boshi told you, like, hey, we plan on betting you nice and playing you in left field?
Actually, it was, you know, I brought that to the table. I mean, I kind of liked the, we talked about it, and I kind of liked the idea of having two leadoff hitters in the lineup because, you know, it creates a lot of situation. If you see the way we're getting on base and putting pressure on the bases, I mean, it could be the other way around. It could be a lefty pitching, and they might want Span hitting ninth, and I'm leading off because I'm a switch hitter. So, I mean, it's just what's not to like, you know? And when I met Span, I mean, the first thing I want to let him know is that, hey, man, there's no hard feelings, but we're here together. We're here to pull to the same direction. I'm 100% on board, and I'm going to try to cover you as much as I can in the gap. I mean, I'm not a selfish player. You know, I just want to, you know, to whatever I do out there, I just want, you know, the fans to be happy. I want the organization to be happy and to honor my family. So, I mean, everything. So it's all good, man. I'm enjoying myself, being out there healthy, and hey, I just want to enjoy this the whole year. That's to me, that's the most important thing.
And it looks like you wasn't really having fun last year because of the nagging injuries, because of some of the play. Now it looks like you're having. You look like a totally different player. It looks like you're the player from the World Series.
There's no room for fun when you're battling injuries. Because I mean, the only room you have is to give whatever 100% you have. If it's 60, you gotta bring 60 out. So sometimes it's tough to enjoy when you're playing injured, you know, because I mean you're not really having fun. I mean, you might be getting the job done, but at the end of the day, it's still in your head that you're not a healthy person. I mean, you're battling through a lot of things, and last couple of years it was really, really tough because I mean I needed everything I had in myself to be able to provide for this team. And I mean, it honestly wasn't fun.
Yeah. And lastly, you know, you guys bring Johnny Cueto aboard. Jefferson Mars is pitching really well. How exciting is it to see this team so loaded? This team might be more talented than the World Series teams that you've been on here, huh?
I'm gonna give it straight up, man. I don't believe in names on the on the lineup. I believe in teams that gets the job done. You know, we do have great talent. We got, you know, great guys that can help us win. But it's about going out there and get the job done. So, you know, man, I really like this team. I think we can do special things. I have no doubt about it. But we just gotta go out there and compete the way we know how we can do it. So I think we're gonna be all right.
Thanks once again to Angel Pagan of the San Francisco Giants. Great stuff there from Bonte. And let's move on to the eighth inning. And we saw something, Bonte, over the weekend at Coors Field. You know what? There's going to be people who might say, Puig's throw in the thin air. Yeah, of course it's going to. You saw Jose Guillen's throw from about two decades ago now. Another amazing throw from the warning track at Coors Field. But hell, that's was something special. The throw he made from the warning track in right field, no cutoff man needed to gun down the runner at third base, left everybody in awe. I mean, we don't even think about the fact, I think the Dodgers lost that game and nobody was talking about that. Was that the best throw you've ever seen in a baseball game, Bonte?
Have you already forgotten about Cespedes' throw in Angel Stadium?
It was a good one. A
couple years ago from the track.
Not as deep from the warning track. Not as deep.
Not as deep. Bo Jackson back in the day when he threw out Harold Reynolds.
I know it. Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente. What about Cespedes last week?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Friday or Saturday? He threw out somebody from center field on the run. No bounce at home plate. This throw by Puig was really good, but it ain't the best I've seen. Heck, it's not even better than the Ichiro throw when he threw out Terrence Long
at
the Coliseum.
That's a
good
call.
I'm going to go with the Ichiro throw as the best I've ever seen.
And
but this Puig one was really good, though.
You know what? Even this year, we saw Aaron Hicks of the Yankees, according to StatCast, which I'm just in love with, by the way, he threw a ball to home plate at 105 miles per hour.
We watched that together. Remember that?
It was
insane. It was a laser.
Yeah.
So we've been seeing some great outfield assists. Puig, I'm going to clap for you because that was a hell of a throw, but it's not the best I've seen.
You know what, though? I'm actually still going to say it's maybe the best I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man. I got Cespedes' two throws. Cespedes' two throws
are
better than that one.
Now you're just being a homer.
I am being a Cespedes homer. I am.
But that throw was incredible. And just to talk about Puig for a second, this is a guy who we know, if he puts the skill set together, is going to be among the 10 best players in baseball. Really. He can throw. He can field. He can run. He can hit. He can hit for power. He could do it all if he wants to do it.
Yep.
And I think he got checked hard last.
He did.
Last offseason. And said, hey, one, he had a rough year in 2015 and had a lot of injuries. And I think that there was a big effort maybe from the front office or the new management, Dave Roberts, saying, look, you've got to put it together. You've got to step it up. You got to get rid of the distractions. And you got to put it all together for one season. And you know what? So far this season, we've seen a lot of them. The Dodgers have been in the Bay Area for four games, and the Giants went down there. So we've seen a lot of Puig. And I can tell you, he looks more focused. He looks better.
Yeah, key word, Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts is doing just wonders for this guy. So with that, the eighth inning, me and Cody disagree there, but Puig's throw was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And he went to a senior prom that night. Did you see that?
Went to a Colorado high school.
I forget the name of the high school, but he just showed up at the prom, took some pictures with him. Puig's in a happy place right now.
I'll say this. If the guy wasn't in Dodger blue, he might be among my favorite players in baseball. He's fun. He's a fun dude.
He is a fun dude, man. And moving on to the ninth inning. Last but not least, this is something we did last season a lot. We talked about the series to watch for the weekend. And I love this because it gives us a chance to look at the weekend and seeing what's a statement series. Which one pops out to you, Cody? And I'm going to go ahead and let you start it. What's the series to watch for you?
You know, we have a lot of interesting series this weekend. I know Yankees, Red Sox for the first time. I mean, doesn't matter how good those teams are. I'm always a little bit interested. But I'm going to go a little off the board here and go Chicago White Sox and the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore. Both teams off to very surprising starts. And by the way, speaking of the White Sox, what might have been even more impressive than Puig's throw? That crazy triple play that the White Sox pulled.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That was amazing.
Crazy triple play or horrible Texas Ranger base running.
There's also that.
Kudos to the White Sox.
That was amazing, though, still watching that. But I love the starts these two teams are off on right now. Baltimore's still in first place. They have slowed down a little bit, but the White Sox are red hot. They got the best record in the American League. Can't wait to see that. The great pitching of the White Sox versus the dominant lineup of the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore. I'll be keeping an eye on them.
All right. I'm going to go to St. Louis, and I want to look at these Nationals and see how legit they really are. This is a first team that they'll play with a winning record. Well, the Cardinals are at 10-9 right now,
they're
barely over 500.
Right now,
but it's in St. Louis. The Nationals always struggle at Busch Stadium. I'm eager to see what the Nationals do with Dusty's boys to start that road trip off. This is a big road trip, and this is a big statement coming out of April. They could really make a statement and say, hey, look, you guys remember that we were in first place in the NL East for most of the first half. We choked. We struggled. Guys got hurt. This is a statement series for the Nationals. I'll have my eyes in St. Louis looking at the Nationals take on the Cardinals. That's a series for me right there.
Yeah, and one other one I think we'll be keeping an eye on, the Giants and the Mets,
obviously.
Yeah. But even if we were not Giants fans, I think we'd be keeping an eye on Sunday's game, which will be Mad Bum versus, I'm expecting it to be Matt Harvey or one of those top three starters in the Mets rotation.
I think it may be DeGrom. I know for sure the Giants are seeing Syndergaard, Mats, or Mats, Syndergaard, and DeGrom maybe, or something. No, I'm not sure of the order, but they're seeing those three studs right there.
Bumgarner, DeGrom, Bumgarner, Harvey, whichever one.
Right.
Both sound pretty damn good.
Poor Kane and Peavy.
Yeah. A little rough to have to go to New York and have to face those two young studs. That'll wrap things up for us. In case you haven't already, make sure to like us on Facebook. Go follow us on Twitter at @DoublePlay_pod. And you can, of course, follow us on audioboom.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. And until next time, for Bonte Hill, I'm Cody Pasby. 9 innings, 9 topics every week right here on the Double Play Podcast.
The Double Play Podcast with Bonte Hill and Cody Pasby.